Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Yeah, got to admit, I love the cow. Always have, always will. Did I tell you about the one time? This was hilarious. And I don't know if this was real or if this was a setup, if some friend of mine was having fun. And yes, it is Steve Noble. I know I don't sound like Steve Noble, but I am, in fact, Steve Noble. I just have some kind of weird head sinus thing going on that I got when I was in Dallas. That's where I was when I was in Dallas last week. And then all of a sudden I started just kind of feeling all nasally and my head was hurting and yada, yada, yada. And I'm like, what in the world? Am I allergic to brisket? What is it? Is it the Cowboys? What? Anyway, it is me. My voice is just a little messed up. So let me tell you this. This is really funny. So I get a caller. So when I first started, and then I'm going to give you a little update on what happened, what God did at Harvest America at AT&T Stadium. And then my buddy Steve Lewis, who I used to do Money Mondays with, and he's really good on the stock market side. You know, David Fisher is an expert on the precious metals side, as well as kind of economic conditions, worldwide banking. David's just an expert there. But Steve Lewis, who will be in here in a little bit, is really an expert on the stock market side of it. And the stock market obviously has not been our friend as much as it was last year. So he's on his way in here and fighting traffic and stuff. So we'll get Steve Lewis here from LNA Capital Advisors on in just a little bit. So this was when I first got started in 2007. It was November of 2007. It was called to action this week because I was only on Saturdays. And then after about 3 months, we got on Sirius Satellite Radio. And then one day, this person called in. I've actually got this recording somewhere, so I'm going to find it. And the really sweet-sounding lady calls in, and she's like, Steve, you know, we really appreciate you taking a bold stand, but the cow? Because I used to play this thing with the cow that came right out of Napoleon Dynamite, if you've ever seen that movie. And so all these kids pull up on a school bus in front of a farm, and right at the time that the farmer's going to put the cow down, so he's got a big shotgun, right? Boom, shoots the cow. All the kids go screaming, right? And you hear the cow moo, and then he kills the cow, and all the kids scream. So I would play that. Like, here's what happens to sacred cows on the radio show. And then we'd play that clip. So this lady, sweet lady, calls in from Kansas, I believe, because we were on Sirius Satellite Radio. So we had callers from literally all over North America. And she's like, but Steve, when you play that cow, it's just so difficult. Could you please? And she starts crying. Could you please, like, not do that? And all of my flesh and maybe some portion of my spirit wanted to say, no, ma'am, we're going to continue to kill that cow on a weekly basis. So I would suggest that you just kind of get over it. But I didn't say anything. I said, well, you know, thank you for calling. And I'll take that under advisement. And she was off the phone. So that's why I love the cow thing. We've always had the cow thing. No sacred cows. What is a sacred cow? Sacred cows are things that we don't like to talk about or question. We don't like to put it into the spotlight in the political realm. The sacred cow, there's a bunch of sacred cows out there in the political realm these days, but it could be the Trump presidency. If you say if I'm talking to a bunch of Trump supporters and I say, in many ways, I think he's a buffoon. Or if I start talking about the way that he speaks or some of his picadillos from his past, perhaps that for some people would be a sacred cow. Well, usually a sacred cow in government is like if you're going to cut Social Security or Medicaid or Medicare at all. So this is something that you go a sacred cow, right? So you just don't do that. But let me set all that aside because I've got a 18-year-old being a pain in my rear end here in the studio. So Dallas. Okay, so I'm there Saturday and Sunday, Harvest America with Pastor Greg Laurie on Sunday night, live at AT&T Stadium where the Cowboys play. 35,000 people in the stands. You had, for you younger folks out there, KB and Tadashi and Trip Lee, they do some like Christian rap stuff. But then we also had David Crowder. We had Chris Tomlin. We had Switchfoot. Switchfoot was great. So you have all that great Christian music, which really invigorates the Christian body of Christ there in the area, in this case, the Dallas Metroplex, because they know it's going to be an awesome event, right? High quality and all that kind of good stuff. And then Greg gets up and preaches a gospel message. This is very much like the old Billy Graham days, but in a very modern context. And so Greg gets up and preaching, and I was doing live radio that night. We were on over 800 radio stations Sunday night, which was really cool. And I was doing that with Janet Mefford. If you've been listening to conservative Christian talk radio for years, you've probably heard Janet Mefford. Really brilliant woman of God, and she and her husband works for Ambassador, which is one of the ways that perhaps the signal is coming to you today is through the Ambassador digital network. But anyway, we did the live show, but when Greg had a chance to start preaching, then we shut up. So it was just a miraculous. It always is. And Janet asked me some questions about it because I've probably seen literally since 2007. I've been to 10 or 12 or 13 crusades. I've probably seen personally over 40,000 people respond in person to get up out of their seats at whatever stadium it happened to be at and to walk down to the arena floor. And that's exactly what happened again on Sunday night at Harvest America at AT&T Stadium in Dallas. Greg gave the invitation. He's preaching through the message just like Billy Graham would do and say, pretty soon I'm going to ask you to make a decision. I'm going to ask you to get up out of your seat and to come down to this floor to make a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. And sure enough, when he did that, there were about 2,500 people that came forward there in that crowd to come make a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. And then there's other counselors and people down there. And the field floor there in AT&T gets very crowded. And then we have counselors down there to talk to them and get their information. Get this, really interesting. 80% over the last 29 years of crusade ministry, 80% of the people that have come forward were brought by somebody at a local church. So you look at this huge event, right? Massive arena, whatever, big numbers. But it really comes down to people like, well, you. Praying for, inviting, and then bringing lost people in your sphere of influence to the event because you know they're going to hear the gospel and you know Greg Laurie is going to give them an opportunity to respond to that gospel message and hopefully to make a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. And like I said, I've seen over 40,000 people do that personally. I'll be back in Southern California in August. They do the Southern California Crusade every year. It'll be 29 years literally in a row at Angel Stadium in Anaheim, and they'll get between 105 and 115,000 people there over three nights, and about 10% of them will respond to the gospel invitation. Greg calls them to make a public profession of faith. Jesus doesn't call us to a private faith. He calls us to a public faith, and that's one of the reasons. It's very akin to the impact of baptism back in the first century. If you're a Jew in Jerusalem, Judea, that area, that neck of the woods, and you're going to become a follower of Jesus Christ, and then you get publicly baptized, then you are making a very loud pronouncement that you are no longer associating yourself with Judaism, but you are going down the road of this new way. And so it's a big deal. Jesus calls you to a public faith. So I'll finish with that. Are you living out a public faith? I'm not talking about praying over your meal at dinner. I'm not talking about slapping a fish on the back of your car. I'm talking about doing the awkward and difficult things of sharing your faith and asking people where they're at, what their faith. That's the whole point of what we're supposed to be doing as followers of Christ. This is Steve Noble. We'll talk to my buddy Steve Lewis when we come back right after this. Let me just tell you, there aren't a lot of people I'll stall for. And when one comes to the studio, that type of person, that quality of an individual that I will stall for, when they come to the studio, I usually get excited. So once they get here, I'll let you know. Did you get that? Steve Lewis, LA Capital Advisors, back in the house.
I'm sorry we invited you to the beach house.
My rather snarky brother in Christ. And
You look different with clothes on. Or with clothes off, I should say, and the beach and everything.
You mean my bathing suit? Thank you. This is a PG-13 Christ honoring kind of program.
Steve, seen you in a bathing suit before?
It's scary because you thought you were white. I'm the definition of white. Actually, I asked Bishop Wooden that, Pastor Wooden, who you know, you came to call to worship. So you've seen Bishop Wooden, and when we first did radio together, I'm like, listen, dude, I really struggle with whether I should tell people you're my black pastor friend, you're an African American. Pretty sure I shouldn't say you're a Negro. And he goes, well, what do I look like to you, Steve? And I said, well, you look kind of like medium brown, but that doesn't really flow well. And he laughed. He goes, listen, I don't care if you say I'm African-American or if I'm black. I'm not that sensitive to it. And I said, okay. And then I said, well, what do I look like to you? And he goes, I mean, it was just like immediately. He goes, you're definitely white. So now you've seen the Shekinah glory of my body that tries to stay away from sun cancer and all that kind of stuff.
I'm much different. I mean,
No, but you are like a CrossFit guy. So well, for but your age, you look, you know, pretty good.
But growing up on the beach in Santa Barbara, I was just a lobster.
Wow.
I mean, big time.
Wow.
I mean, the nose crusted, bleeding.
Oh, the whole nine.
The
yeah.
forehead. We'd go to, we'd break from lunch and miss a class or two and do, if the waves are good, which often in Santa Barbara, you get back.
Yeah.
You know, hit a class and or go to the track practice, you just wiped out and you're all blood, you know, you're red and everything.
Yeah. Pretty nice part of the country to grow up in, though, Santa Barbara.
If you don't mind mudslides.
Oh, yeah, there's always that. Okay, we could have fun and talk about your 12 kids and your awesome wife and all that good stuff, but we don't have time because you were running late. So let's just get right into it. Steve and I have done a lot of radio together in the past, and we did some financial shows together, and we do them every once in a while. And whereas David Fisher, who you guys hear, is really a precious metals expert, Steve's wheelhouse is really the stock market itself, and is brilliant and full all my cards on the table. Steve manages the Noble Family Foundation, which we don't have a foundation. We just have, you know, kind of normal American savings and investments. And Steve's a good friend and a brother in Christ and really, really knows what he's talking about. So always helpful in the stock market stuff. So this year, not exactly, Steve-O, what we were looking at last year, is it?
No, but the patterns are following suit. That is, you have NASDAQ right now outperforming the industrials. NASDAQ's at, I think when I left here, was 13% up for the year. That's up 5% in a week.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You have the Dow up 3, S&P up 5, and Reuters, mentioned that 8 of 11 sectors are in negative territory.
Wow.
So it's wondering, where is your portfolio?
Yeah.
And we talk about this often, and it's and the typical buy and hold is you're going to have a lot of exposure to those 8 negative sectors. And they're just going to be sitting there doing nothing.
Because how many sectors are there that you look at?
Well, we look at 11. It depends on what research firm you pull from. We like to pull from Yardini. It's on our website. Under the resource tab, you can update every day. It'll see every day the updated sectors. The micro sectors such as restaurants and, you know, you have information technology. You have medical devices. Everything under the sun is broken down. And you can get exposure to each one of those things. So, we're seeing information technology running it, number one. We're seeing healthcare.
Which explains the NASDAQ being up 13%.
NASDAQ. And with that, you can micro expose yourself to the cloud, software devices, and large platforms of computers. All those things are really growing right now, out of control. But, the number one performer in the S&P is a biofirm. I mean, it's up about 80%.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, you have Netflix at that level right now.
But, I mean, you look at the Dow, wasn't it? Like 30 days ago, the Dow was flat for the year, wasn't it?
Well, last week it was in negative territory.
Geez, so it's up 3 for the year.
Yes.
Because we had a few big days.
Yeah, on that, there's some information on that. You have 15 stocks are positive out of the 30, so half are negative.
Wow.
So you running the lead on that is on the negative going up is GE at negative 21, believe it or not, right? Procter & Gamble at negative 17, Walmart negative 15, 3M negative 13. And leading the pack is Boeing at plus 25, which is very similar to the aerospace and defense budgets that have been increased. And that Intel up 20, there's your IT there. And so the top five sectors of the Dow is aerospace, semiconductors, right? And then you have clothing, because Nike's right up in there having a good year as well.
Interesting.
Software and credit. And then Under Armour on the S&P side, which is really doing well. So it's
well, you sound all cheery and things are good right now, but it seems to me like it's been a pretty tough year.
We had a great January, and then February we just collapsed.
Train wreck.
It was a huge train wreck. We put stop prices on our equities, and we probably went to about 38% cash.
The stop price meaning if it goes down a certain amount, it automatically sells.
Yeah, we buy a predetermined sell price on each stock and ETF, for example, ETN also, exchange traded fund, exchange traded note, and that really saves us a little bit on that. You know, not all clients want them.
So would you call that defensive investing or offensive investing, or what? How do you describe that in terms of really going in there and setting these levels before you even buy a stock, so that you know if it goes down, here's what we're going to do. This is what we're going to get out of it.
Well, there's a phrase if you go to these conferences, it's called smart beta. Beta meaning market risk. How do you manage beta smartly? And everybody has their own little nuances, and ours is really looking at it defensively. And it's looking at the volatility of the movements. With a 5-day, versus the market, the 30-day versus the market. It's called the MACD, Moving Average Coincidental Directional Index, kind of weird stuff.
And all of this requires pretty constant attention. It's not like we've talked about this before, because we're not in the buy and sell your daddy's stock market anymore. It's you have to move more often.
You need to move often. There's a lot more players in the field that we've ever had before. We didn't. You know, our parents didn't have exchange-traded funds. That trade on margin. Didn't have these
things.
Didn't
exist, right.
Certainly didn't have Bitcoin, right? Weird stuff like
Holy
that.
Holy cow, yeah.
It was very simple to hold on to. You know, we would think you would hold on to GE. Everybody had that.
Of course.
That's the
GE, IBM. That's what you buy.
That is the original only one left of the Dow when it started was GE. And it's down 21%.
Gee whiz.
So think about your portfolio. You're carrying a lot of it, and it's down when there's a lot of opportunities to move. And, yeah, our data kicks in at 9 a.m. It fires up. We can see it pre-market. And we see where things are. Looks like it's headed. And that's, of course, you know, we've seen a lot of moves. We had earlier in the year, March and April, with the whole rumor of tariffs in China. Everybody worked up about it. That's following the increase of interest rates. And that really moved the markets, despite the fundamentals being great. And then so Kudlow, I guess he just had a heart attack.
Kudlow just had a heart attack the other day, yeah. He's doing okay. He's good.
He did a Q&A there, right, where you and me and – is that Pete? Who was on our – we went to D.C.
When we went up –
The gentleman went –
Who went with us?
Yeah.
Oh, that was Jeff Kelly.
Jeff Kelly. Yeah, so us three right there is where Kudlow took this Q&A. And we're watching the Dow when he's answering these questions on tariff. He said, wait a minute. It takes – 6 months to activate something. And,
right.
he's just telling all the media to settle down. And we saw the market move 170 points positive as he's speaking. So a lot of it is misinformation. A lot of it is people getting freaked out about things. I better get out early. But it's really just being prepared and understanding the volume right now. We got the volume numbers here.
Well, we'll dive some more into this. I'm going to talk about Trump's impact on the market, what we're looking at for the second half of the year. We're talking to Steve Lewis, my good friend, my brother in Christ, and talking to us about how to manage this interesting stock market, to say the least. LA Capital Advisors is Steve's website. LA Capital Advisors. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, thestevenobleshow.com. If you want to join us right here in the studio, because we're a couple of middle-aged guys, and who wouldn't want to see that in a radio studio? Just find us at Facebook. Just go to your Facebook page, and then in the search box, The Steve Noble Show or Steve Noble Show, and you'll jump right in here on Facebook Live. And by the way, we at the end of every day when we do the show on Facebook Live, we pause at the end of the show. We finish up the radio broadcast side, and then we pray together at the end of the show. And we usually pray with something that will have something to do with that day's show or some topic, maybe something that's in the news. And that's really been a great blessing over the last couple of years on Facebook Live, that we have built this little kind of relationship inside the show that just only occurs on Facebook Live. So I hope you'll join us there. That's a really neat place. And during the commercial breaks, if you're on radio, you're listening to commercials, which are important and great, and a lot of good things out there. But we kind of continue the conversation. Sometimes it's a little more loosey-goosey during the commercial breaks, but it's really a different approach. It's about another 15, 16, 17 minutes on the show over the course of the whole hour, because with commercial breaks, we really talk for about 40 minutes. But when you throw Facebook Live in there, you're a whole hour plus a little prayer time at the end. So I hope you'll join us there. It's always great to have new friends on Facebook Live. Again, just jump to your Facebook and then just put Steve Noble Show, N-O-B-L-E, and you can join us there. Like the page and then hit the little play button and you'll be right here in the studio with us. Talking to Steve Lewis today, my dear friend and a brother in Christ and a great husband and father with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 children, two of which were adopted from Ethiopia, and that was really cool, and we were just out at the beach together. He was making fun of me earlier and not being very nice, which is really common, but they asked us to come out. They had a beach house, which you can imagine you got to get a pretty big beach house when you have that many kids, but your two boys that you adopted from Ethiopia, Ephraim and Antonik, they had two other, they're like best friends from when they were in the orphanage back in Ethiopia, right? Didn't they all get connected there?
Yes.
How cool was that?
Oh yeah, Benjamin and Sam is their names now, gravitated towards my oldest son Sam, who's now serving in the military.
Yeah.
And so
thank you, Sam.
It was really ironic that a family adopted these boys just a couple hours south in Jacksonville.
Yeah, in North Carolina.
A Marine family, yeah.
All the way from Ethiopia, yeah. Same orphanage.
And they showed up at the beach house. And
that's so cool.
And it's just amazing seeing them grow up and develop. And
yeah.
Very strong Christian household, too.
So. God is so good.
Yeah, that's great.
That's awesome. Okay, so we're talking with Steve today about the stock market. It's been a really interesting year, to say the least. LACapitalAdvisors.com. Before we dive back into some of the nitty-gritty stuff, I've been interesting that you and I, in all the years that we've done radio together, I always end up bringing up this kind of the word that a lot of us aren't real familiar with, but I've been hearing it all the time lately on advertising on other Christian, not Christian stations, conservative talk stations, and the word is fiduciary. All of a sudden, everybody's talking about you got to have a fiduciary, got to have a fiduciary. In order to protect yourself, you need a fiduciary. What is a fiduciary?
There are three legal fiduciaries. One is an attorney, one is a CPA, and an investment advisor. And that means they have to act in your best interest. Full disclosure on conflicts of interest, all fees, expenses, everything has to be brought out to the front. And that's not the case with all financial consultants.
So when we talk about investment advisors, and then there's generally what's the other type of job that we would hire somebody to kind of manage our money?
Well, you can call them anything you want.
Stockbroker?
Stockbroker, a registered representative. You look on their business card. If it doesn't say an investment advisor rep, then you're dealing with a non-fiduciary. Now, let me qualify that. It doesn't mean that fiduciaries are any better. All right, I know
in terms of the nuts and bolts and how they invest.
Yeah, I know a lot of lazy.
Right, sure, of course.
But as far as transparency, everything is up front. And it's interesting that you brought that up, because I put a post on my own Facebook page, LA Capital, Lewis and Associates Capital Advisors page. And a couple of years ago, under the Obama administration, they passed the Department of Labor rule and the DOL. And they passed that they want anyone that consults in the financial industry, all of it, whether it be an insurance-based guy or whatever, you must act in the best interest of the client if it is an IRA. I don't know why it was just IRAs, because all money is important.
Right, yes.
So like everybody got fearful. And what it did, it created a discussion where a lot of things were coming out, where clients with these large brokerage firms are going to their consultant or their broker and say, wait a minute, what do you mean you're not acting in my best interest?
What does that look like?
It causes a problem, because the conflicts of interest in the commission transaction-based security world, even in the insurance world, is really a sewer.
Yeah.
I mean, it is really bad. Wow. I mean, underscore bad. So this post I put just named one of four large brokerage firms that the regulators are going after. Edward Jones was one of them. And basically the issue at hand is you would have the broker getting commission already on a series of transactions. And in order to look fiduciary type, they decided to move these IRAs into fee-based accounts. So you have a double dip going on. And the people are really upset about it.
Sure, they should
be. So that brokerage firm and three others listed in the article on my page, there's a class action filed now. Because people are saying, wait a minute, you got paid. So why am I now being charged a flat fee?
Right, being paid again.
So I don't know how they're going to transition that. You know, I would hate to have that discussion. So that's really crazy.
Well, I think the other thing that I've learned over the years in working with you and on the fiduciary subject, and then we'll move back into some of the stock market stuff specifically, is that there's all kinds of things. If you're not a fiduciary, if you don't have a fiduciary relationship with your client, that you can push products that also are good for you. That if you're going to make some extra commissions, or you can qualify for a trip by selling certain mutual funds or whatever, all that stuff's on the table. But if you're not a fiduciary, you don't have to disclose that. Is that right?
If you're a fiduciary, you have to disclose it.
Yeah, if you do. But if you're not a fiduciary,
right, you don't have to disclose it.
You don't have to disclose
right.
it. So you could be your broker or whatever could be pushing certain products to you that are also good for them, but they don't tell you that.
Right. Well, I was petitioned to lobby for the DOL ruling in D.C., and lobby against it. Two different organizations. And those that are against it were the transaction-based industry. That would be the insurance industry most and foremost. Not the insurance Department of Insurance. I'm talking about the insurance companies that sell these products. And, of course, the broker world. And I think Merrill Lynch has gone to a fee-based. So a lot of people are moving to, Stanley. You know, that's what I'm hearing, and friends of mine, because they can go the commission-based.
Yeah.
And so it does create a discussion, but now the law it's not regulated because the Department of Labor has no jurisdiction over that. So right now the SEC is still dealing with this as to how are we going to approve this. And if so, who's going to regulate it? We don't know because we regulate advisors, the FINRA. Another regulator oversees the brokerage industry. They have the insurance commissioners of each agency oversee. How are you going to do this?
Right.
And what does best interest mean?
Yeah, now we're back to what that depends on what your definition of the word is. Yeah. Is.
So really the broker world operates the same. You know, you seek them for advice. They put you in these things. The wealth management side is probably, in my opinion, I see the people getting ripped off the most because the people with great cash flows, larger accounts, they just look at the statement, if at all.
Yeah.
And they just give them their money. And they heard this guy as a referral, and they just give them all these money. And the costs.
Yeah.
And the illiquid investments. I mean, you know, real estate investment trust paying 3-4% commission. And
so we should be asking, let the buyer beware.
Oh, sure.
This is the general rule here. We should be asking these questions.
But they're not asking the questions. Right. And they don't have to disclose unless you ask. And that's the
right,
problem.
Right, exactly. That's the problem.
Yeah. So, but with the advisory world, there's advisory firms do a lot of different things. You know, a lot of them are hiring third parties right now, and that's kind of disconcerting to me because if I was a third party in, investment advisor rep, you know, I'd get a large chunk of that fee, and the third party gets a lot of it too.
Yeah.
And I'm not doing anything.
Yeah, and everybody's just figuring out another way to make money on the client.
Right, and we're being pushed all the time. They're called separate managed accounts, and we get solicited all the time, and they call us. We just say we're not interested because we pull the triggers ourselves, and we don't use models or set portfolios that you can buy. You know,
so we really gotta let's let the buyer beware. We gotta ask those types of questions. So the number one question anybody that deals with an individual to help them with their investments should be: Are you a registered investment advisor?
Yeah, just look at the business card. The card I wrote the editorial.
Will it show up on their website? Is it supposed to be on there?
On the disclosure at the bottom, yes.
Oh, yeah. So that's difficult to read through a disclosure.
Yeah. I wrote an editorial in the Suburban Living for Holly Springs.
Where you live in North Carolina.
Yeah. And I discussed the whole thing. If anyone wants a copy, they can email me. I'll give them a copy of the work.
Yeah, you can send Steve a note. Just go to his website, lacapitaladvisors.com, lacapitaladvisors.com. Let's go. You got a bunch of notes, and I'm going to make sure we get through all this because you always bring a lot of
information. Well, on the way, Kroger announced they're shutting all the stores in the Triangle down by October.
Around here, Kroger. Yeah. See you later. Mm-hmm. Wow.
About 1,500 employees going to be removed.
Wow. What, I mean, what
60% are part-time. Well, you just believe there's too many grocery stores.
Wow.
You know, they acquired Harris Teeter almost 3 years ago.
How big is Kroger? They all over the country?
They're the largest in the country.
Wow.
Yeah, Albertsons acquired Safeway 2 years ago, but I think Kroger's still a lot larger than they are.
Yeah, and so many people lose their
jobs. Shop there. It's right near
your home. Yeah, it's right by our house.
Yeah, so it'd be interesting to see if that one doesn't make it. But,
wow.
But, you know, you can have a great fundamental market, and you got 1,500 people getting cut.
Yeah, it's tough. That's the world we live in. When we come back, I'm going to talk about through some more of those details. I want to ask you about Trump's impact on the market this year and the little rocket man. We'll talk about if he's having an impact on the market. This is Steve Noble talking to my good friend Steve Lewis of LNA Capital Advisors. LACapitaladvisors.com is their website. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Steve Noble Show. This is Steve Noble. Please forgive my voice. I've got some nasty sinus thing going on that I picked up when I was in Dallas for Harvest America, which was awesome with Pastor Greg Laurie. 35,000 people turned out on Sunday night, about 2,500 Decisions for Christ right there in the arena. And then we had about 6,000 host locations around the country and about 300,000, I think, 300 unique visitors online watching the broadcast. I was part of the live radio broadcast that we did, the simulcast that night. Over 800 stations we were on Sunday night, so it was just an awesome thing to be a part of that and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ as we that's the number one thing that we need to be doing, because that's the number one answer to people's problems in the world, is to have an eternal focus and to answer the biggest question of life, which is where you're going to go when you die. And there's only two choices, as most of you probably know. So that's why the gospel is so important. That's why it's a pleasure for me to work with Greg Laurie and the Harvest Guys. And that keeps my heart centered as well, to remember the gospel is the ultimate in everything. Politics is important, of course. Finances is important. The stock market's important. our duties as stewards of everything God provides is important, but none of it's as important as the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's always make sure we're coming back to that as our basis for everything that we do. Talking to my good friend Steve Lewis today, LA Capital Advisors, LACapitalAdvisors.com is his website. And just working our way through some interesting days in the stock market, not quite 2017, a little different this year than it was last year. But kind of general economic numbers, Steve. Let's talk about that right quick. Just generally economic figures across the spectrum.
Well, let's talk about some announcements that has a tendency to move the markets pretty well. Not much until next week, but Friday we have Sears Homefront stores. Sears is kind of closing all these private franchised Homefront stores are reporting on Friday. And that'll be kind of interesting to see. Wholesale inventories are going to be reported. The consensus is about a 0.2% increase and revised down from 0.3, but we don't know what that's going to be. We have Thursday, Adobe is going to. They're a leader right now in the NASDAQ. So
are they really?
We're going to see what
I didn't know that. What
they have to say. Coming up Tuesday next week, we're going to have the Consumer Price Index and the Treasury budget about announcing potential interest increases.
Increases, right?
Wednesday, the Federal Reserve is going to have a chit-chat about that as well. They're going to kind of reinforce what the Treasury says on Tuesday. Then the Producer Price Index is following. Thursday, retail sales are going to be announced. Jobless claims, retail sales minus autos are going to come out. And then Friday next week is going to be the industrial manufacturing. And the consensus are going to lowball this a little bit,
Have that many major announcements come out in such short a period of time, is that normal?
Yeah, it's normal. They have a regular schedule.
But is it quarterly or what is it? Monthly?
Yes.
Well, yes, yeah. Quarterly or monthly?
It's monthly.
Monthly. Okay.
I mean, like for example, the GDP. Once it's announced, there are there's two more revisions to that number.
Right,
nobody pays attention to that.
Yeah.
So if it comes back at 2.9, everybody gets fat and happy about it. But then there's always a second and a third. Hmm. The third revision is really the brick and mortars because it's compiling all more data coming in. It's about a 10% margin of error. And right after that third announcement, the next week, the next quarter is announced. So it's really a lot of weird numbers, but no one hears about the second and third revision. What makes it is the first one.
The first one is what
everybody
reacts to.
And it changes vastly, almost a half a percent sometimes.
Wow.
So it's, of course, Trump will say it.
Right, of course.
And he did because it hit just under 3 last time on the revised number 3.
Well, we had, the Trump effect once he got once he won the general election and then, of course, carried through last year as much as we can identify that, but what's the Trump effect been this year? And the tariffs and Little Rocket Man and all that kind of stuff. Do you pay attention as an investment advisor? Do you pay attention to what the president's doing and saying and tweeting?
I don't because people who do that will say, "Hey, listen, the stock's at a good price right now. Let's buy it." And we don't buy that way. One method is that if you're bullish on a sector or an index like the NASDAQ, and you don't want to go in and pick winners and losers, you can ETF exchange traded fund the NASDAQ, and get that whole exposure. Same thing with the Dow. I mean, not a whole lot of winners in the Dow,
right?
But it is moving in a positive direction. You can get that ETF and just follow that. As
yeah, you
a
just
whole.
So you're basically buying into the Dow as a whole.
You can. You
as
can
opposed
do
to individual.
You can do that with the Standard & Poor 500, the Russell 1000, 2000, 3000. You can do it with gold instead of buying micro elements of gold. Healthcare sector as a broad instead of dealing with just medical devices.
Oh, interesting.
You can do anything you want. Restaurants, which is a consumer discretionary sector.
Right.
Right. Well, what about if I want to get into discretionary as a whole? You can do that. Or you can pick and choose microbreweries, tobacco. You can do restaurants, hotels.
Yeah, it's really amazing all the different diversity that's
out there.
And
then within that, you can then go into the stocks.
How do people actually – because most people aren't going to take those types of opportunities and then run with it and try to figure it out on their own.
No.
Most people are going to work with somebody such as yourself to help them understand. I mean, that's kind of your job.
Yeah, brokers also won't usually go down into the weeds like that either.
Yeah.
I think that people have to just interview the firm. And tell them, this is really what I want. But our method is that we want to beat the markets, right? That's
right,
our goal.
Course.
So you have to go into the weeds to find it. And last year was a phenomenal year. Only 2 negative months.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Between all sectors. 2.
Two.
Negative months.
Yeah, oh, that's amazing.
You know, we had clients who were just above 40% return last year.
Yeah.
And the low Paul was 15. So, and that was pretty active with these folks. But, you know, we went sideways up until May.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
So it's really
February,
hard.
February, March, April. That was
Like trying to find the person in the choir that's off key. you know somebody is.
In a big choir, right.
And you can't.
It's hard to identify.
You can't find it, right.
LACapitalAdvisors.com is Steve's website. We're talking to Steve about all kinds of market conditions in the stock market. So what's kind of generally, what should we be thinking as we look at the second half of the year?
Well, I think more and more good news on the fundamentals. We talked to our clients about, listen, this stop price is hit. What do you want to do? The fundamentals are still strong. They say, go put it in. You know, we communicate as often as we can through our weekly recaps, which people can sign up and get, whether they're clients or not. Just go through the website, hit contact. I'd like to be part of your emailed recaps.
Yeah.
It kind of lets them know what we're doing.
Right? Yeah.
And
I read those every week.
Yeah. And so it's a good way to communicate with the clients. So. They can get that. Again, they can get the Morningstar we talked about earlier. All right, so they can get those things.
Because the Morningstar
well.
Is kind of like a doctor's checkup of your portfolio.
Well, yeah, it could be a very long report. Depends on what they want. If they want the really detailed, we've got it. If they want just the summary, we can.
Because that looks at the cost you're paying of certain mutual funds and all that kind of stuff,
yeah.
Not just the performance.
Correct.
Listen
to know what
holdings.
Exposure they are. What if they're heavily involved in industrials and transportation right now? Or materials.
Yeah, you're in trouble.
You're half of it in there. Gosh, no wonder I'm still negative for the year.
Right, yeah.
So they can do anything they want with it, and they take it back to their person and put them to work.
Yeah.
I mean, they work for
what
you.
What a great point.
Right? Yeah, so, yeah.
Well, is that something that we're not demanding enough? Your average investor in terms of
people
the people
are intimidated
with.
By the luscious offices, the big desks, the suits, all that stuff. It's there for a reason. And it's there to, you know, you go into an attorney's office.
Project, yeah. I know what I'm doing.
Same thing,
right.
Yeah. And I think really it's not rocket science. It's just taking the time to do something that people don't have time to do. Because if you look at the retail investor, the do-it-yourselfers,
yeah, yeah.
They're not far off with what we're doing. I mean, they have the idea. I see people come in and they'll have these ETFs spread out.
Because they're doing a lot of homework.
Well, they got the time. I mean, they're retired and stuff, and they have time,
you know,
and that's great.
And most of us don't.
Yeah. And so then they buy the stuff on retail. They pay commission to the custodian, right? The wirehouse gets that commission, not specific broker.
TD Ameritrade or whoever.
Yeah, but the price is the same to a broker. The advisor, there's no commission charges. So
have you seen an increase in number of people that take over their own investment?
More and more. They're moving away from brokerage, and they're doing their own. They're not moving away from advisory. Yeah. Advisory is growing big, but the brokerage part, I think, because of that lack of transparency, I'm just going to probably do it myself.
Yeah,
and I think it's probably what they're doing because, you know, a lot of people we see are buying stuff. They don't know what it is, and they're afraid to say no.
Right. Yeah.
And this guy made $80,000 in commission for stuff that you can't touch for 5 years.
Wow.
And that's a big problem in the industry as well.
That's too bad.
I mean, most
human depravity, though.
Well,
that's all that
most
is.
Of these commercials
greed.
You hear on the radio.
Yeah, really. Which are just driving
they're,
stuff
they're
hard.
They're investment advisors hiding behind that hat. They're going to get you into an annuity. That's really the biggest game in town. And annuities are great to mitigate income. If you want that income guarantee, I mean, you can't ask for a better thing, right? But these guys are selling it as the panacea, you know, as it needs to belong in there whether you need it or not.
Yeah, and it isn't.
Because really about 3 in 10 people, 7 in 10 don't need it, what we see. But these people are putting them in 10 of 10 people.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's the problem. You
yeah,
know?
That's a little scary. Well, looking forward, and we only got a couple minutes left, in terms of kind of bright spots on the horizon this year in terms of sectors of the economy, what do you think has a decent shot of doing well in the second
well,
half
what,
of the year?
Well, what makes me feel good is to see the discretionary sector taking off. Many times it parallels with the consumer confidence
index. Yeah, because we're feeling like we can go out and spend some money.
Right, and right now it's up 9%. And
on the year?
Excuse me, 12% right now. And
wow.
and within that sector, there's a lot of winners in there to play with right now. Consumer discretionary, healthcare, information technology seems to be the top three right now again. Energy got a great start with a high increase of oil, and now it's been flat. It's flat at 5. Hasn't moved in about 8 weeks, 9 weeks.
Up 5% on the year.
Yeah. But those three things are really exciting to see because the S&P right now, as of yesterday, was up 4.2 as a whole. And so you can get exposure to everything above that 4% pretty solidified portfolio.
If somebody wants to see what's in the discretionary sector or the healthcare sector or the information technology sector, how do you see what companies are in there?
Standard & Poor, you have to go into that and follow it by industry and by sector. Yeah.
Because that's identified. And then
it'll pull it all up.
Yeah, it pulls them all up. That's great advice. Steve Lewis, LA Capital Advisors, always good to have you in. Always good to see you, even whether we're in the beach or not. It's still good to see you. LACapitalAdvisors.com is the website, LACapitalAdvisors.com. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. We'll be back tomorrow. I'm back in town, back from Dallas. It's great to be home. It's great to be with you. And God willing, I'll talk to you all again really soon.